The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 10th of April, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green as we celebrate Guardian Talk Radio's 13th anniversary. As we celebrate. I had guests scheduled for today, but we're switching it up a bit today. What I do have is lots of news to talk about. I was hoping Mr. Newry would be here to join me, so it's easier to do when I have another person in the room. But I think Mr. Newry is currently trying to trade his car in for a helicopter for the purpose of avoiding little hit and run accidents, eh? Avoiding. I don't know. After. See, the hit part could be an accident. The run part is no accident at all. He is no accidental. It's no accidental at all. So, again, and I promise you all some trivia for the anniversary. I could be very frank with you all, even though my name is Erin. You see what the Prime Minister said in the paper today? We will cushion blow from tariffs. And so I want to say to my audience, we have some nice prizes. They're a bit small compared to what people are expecting. We don't have any New York lottery prizes today. But we got some nice prizes in honor of Guardian Radio, Guardian Talk Radio's 13th anniversary. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
This morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I tell the people I need some help to do trivia,
good.
Right? I was hoping that you to come in studio. Ask you if we could maybe do the trivia in your hour.
Yeah, man, I have Uncle Sarah coming also. And I plan to have like a open conversation with him about society and then religion. And we can incorporate the trivia into that. I have all no problem with that. I was speaking to the lady downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
What is her name? Jasmine Darling.
Okay.
Some distant cousins to us, by the way. And she is marketing manager of Fanta. She's doing a show next door with Sawyer.
With Sawyer Boy?
I was trying to get free stuff to give away.
Yes.
She said she's bringing stuff back.
Okay.
They have a new type of soda. Yeah, they have a new type
they
of soda.
They got juju soda?
It's one of those strange fruits.
Tamarind soda?
It's one of them strange fruits. So I'm saying.
Ganep soda?
So I was trying to get her to bring it now so we can get. But we'll see how it goes.
Because I had sea grape soda this weekend. Remember when Pindus?
I remember
Pindus. Used to make the local fruit soda?
Long Island Dilly. Abacos sea grape?
Yeah. Elutra pineapple, right?
Elutra pineapple. Yeah, I remember that. That's Pindus.
Yeah, Pindus. That was a time, eh?
That was a time.
And then came Gombe Punch.
I remember. Then Gombe Punch stuck.
Yeah, like. It became an icon.
And then they made Jungle Punch. Similar, but not the same.
Yeah. But didn't they do like a cola champagne? But
that's I remember cola champagne too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so let's the phone line right now. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I mean, you called so early. Okay, here we go, guys. There are headlines, Mr. Newry. I really wanted to talk about what's in the headlines today. U.S. Embassy tells tourists avoid renting jet skis. U.S. second rape case unreported. Let's go to the phone line quickly because I have more headlines I want to touch on as well. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, sir. How you doing?
Well, you're okay on drive. That's how we're doing. You won't believe I wake up this morning in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm driving. I put on the cross shirt. Mm-hmm. You know, once you put on the cross shirt, you ain't too concerned with getting a raise in the job because you have on the cross shirt.
Yes. Yes, right? Sir.
So now I'm feeling good, looking good, smelling good, jumping the bend, riding down Nassau Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
You won't believe all I see is this Jeep coming towards me on Nassau Street. Almost hit my car.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to hurry up, turn on the sidewalk right there by Nassau Street Police Station, right?
Mm-hmm.
I jumped with the car because now you know I no longer the Coral Harbor poison. I now the Foxhill poison.
I got
so
you.
So I jump out the car in the Foxhill mood.
Uh-huh.
Right? So now the cross shirt ain't feeling good no more.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy, he had a nice attitude about it, right?
Uh-huh.
But guess what his response was?
Yeah.
He's sorry, sir. I bent down to pick up my box of cigars because the cigars dropped.
Wow.
Wow. Why in the... Oh, gosh.
I can tell you why. Because somebody has convinced us that a D is satisfactory. See, these people are victims of a system, right? That has told them that their mediocrity is acceptable.
No, Ms. Green, you evidently know what I say. The guy, he ain't say he dropped a box of cigars.
That's what I'm telling you.
So he decided to put his whole head down to pick up the cigars while the car is in drive.
Mm-hmm.
And the passenger right there, as if is normal.
Yeah, the passenger, there's a passenger in the car too. The passenger couldn't pick him up.
And the second thing I'll jump on, right? The jet fuel, this ain't going on. This ain't nothing new. I surprised this ain't happened a long time that they stopped with the jet skis. We have a very, very strange way of sexual interactions with females in the Bahamas. I'll give you a primary example I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Bahamas, touching a woman without her permission is normal. In the Bahamas, touching a woman's hip without her permission is actually normal.
Okay, stick a pin right there. Hold on. Stick a pin right there. I can tell you because we've normalized it. I can tell you. Would you say touching a woman's breast
without her permission
is normal?
It's normal.
You know what happens? When the woman then objects, when the woman attempts to make the point that you have assaulted me, right? Not just you have offended me, but you have assaulted me, the perpetrator then turns around and vilifies the victim. Why are you making it such a big deal? What, and then, you know, it'll get worse. What happened? You don't like man, hey? Man ain't supposed to touch a woman, hey? Now,
yeah,
hold on, hold the pin. Hold the pin. Hold the pin. What you was talking about traffic this morning. Over the last 3 months, let me tell you how many people have responded with an attempt to save a life with aggression and violence. For instance, you have the right of way. The person flies through the stop sign into the flow of traffic, obstructing traffic, almost causing an accident. You blow your horn to make sure that they understand that there are cars around them. And then what they do, they slam on their brakes, attempting to brake check you and cause an accident. They start cussing you because they broke the law and you brought it to their attention. You see the similarity in the behavior?
Boy, something wrong with us.
Something
got to be wrong with us.
Something is absolutely wrong with us. And right, and but we're not going to fix it until we identify exactly what it is. And
no, we can't find out what it is because it's normal.
No, we know what it is. We just explained what it is, right? We just explained what it is. Yesterday, on my way to work, I stopped for, right? I wasn't obstructing traffic. I was able to slow down without obstructing traffic to allow the car to come out. They were distracted, careless. They slowly took their time coming out and almost caused an accident. I tapped my horn in case they didn't see the car that had the right of way heading towards them. The boy put on his brakes, put his head out the window, like talking to me. I had to tell him, King, drive your car. He put on his brakes again. And then I pull out my megaphone and ask him, what happened? Are you going to fight me because you can't drive? I had to say it out loud. Are you going to fight me because I tried to save your life? We could fix it because we've identified what it is. Now we just need enough people to acknowledge what is happening. That's all.
I believe we turned in retarded.
Okay. Thank you very much. We don't like to use that word retarded. We got to be very careful and intentional when we use the word, right? So that it will not be interpreted as a slur towards people with intellectual disabilities. Because really what we're saying is that it appears that your development has been stunted so significantly that you should not be doing what it is that you're doing. All right. So Ms. Green, that caller is crazy if it's normal to touch my breasts or my hips. No, Texter, you missing the point. He's saying that the bad behavior has been normalized. You get it? Like you agreeing with him. He's showing us how crazy the world has become. Another text, where is touching people normal? What ghetto places you be in? You ever been, have you heard the anecdotal reports of sexual harassment in the workplace?
We're going beyond the point. And I appreciate you mentioned the word anecdotal and appreciating the definition of it. There is an issue, right? The American Embassy put out a crime report for their citizens mm-hmm. to be careful in regarding jet ski operators. And we've been having those type of reports and warnings for a while, decades, in fact.
Let me just speak to the warning. Mm-hmm. Earlier this week, I think, a warning was issued.
Mm-hmm.
We were reminded that the U.S. Embassy has instructed its staff
mm-hmm.
to not engage jet ski operators. And then today, the U.S. Embassy tells tourists, not just a warning, not just to avoid them entirely.
Yes. I have a personal story
mm-hmm.
that I want to share,
mm-hmm.
right? Because on social media, people saying, oh, the United States have all kind of issues there. Why are they concentrating on the Bahamas? Even though that we are a tourism nation and whatever illy affects our tourists, we need to consider it and be regarded towards it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when I was younger, when I say younger, I was about 21, 22, working for a high-end hotel,
mm-hmm.
right? VIP section. And we as men, young men, were having a discussion about staff on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the senior guys there. He was about 25, right? Was relaying a story about him dating white Americans. And we were all shocked and said, where you get to meet white Americans from? So he told a story about him being a jet ski operator, right? And where he'll take out jet ski ladies, young girls around his age. He's about 17, 18, 19, 20 at the time. And he'll take them out into the ocean. And as they want to get the free ride in the, on this jet ski, he said he would feel them up, right? And, and I'm listening to the story, right? And I'm seeing that the young men who were with me, all of us are college-educated men, right? Because this is a high-end job we were doing, right? First launch, inaugural group. And the guy started to cheer. Say, what else happened? See, he told the story that one day he carried this girl on the beach and tell her that if she doesn't do whatever he says, he's not going to take her back to the dry land, whatever it is, from this jet ski. And of course, the lady conceded, did whatever it is. And I interjected, said, you know that's rape? And of course, they beat upon me saying, what you mean rape? She said, yes. Right? I said, no, man, that's duress. They said, and it was back and forth trying rape. Right, and I became the bad guy in this conversation because the young men they say, "No, man, we just encouraged her. She said yes, she consented," and they all shared stories similar. I was like lone person and completely gassed, saying, "What you are saying that all of y'all did something similar, where you said you take them either to a private island and plan to abandon them, take them out driving on tours, and say we ain't taking you back," and it seemed as if it was a culture. And this is about 25, 30 years ago, right? And I see that the culture from that yes years still exists because the jet ski operator is seemingly still doing that.
Well, we're going to get back to that in a second. Let's go to the phone line because I got a story as well to follow up on the story you told. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry, I missed you. Okay, so roughly 20 years ago now, I was listening to a local radio show and the host was having a conversation about like sexual intimacy, right? And the host said, look, y'all like don't know how people is have sex date and you with the person and the energy is there and y'all, you know, y'all with each other and the energy rises and then you just do the thing. And I called in and sort of just, not say disrupted, but made an intervention and shift the nature of the show. I insisted on this point that that's not how it works. And it's dangerous to perpetuate or promulgate that idea that you don't know how it has happened, it has just happened. People be together and the energy is there and they just end up having sex, right? But this person not only was pushing this message, but the people calling in and I don't know if people were just disagreeing with me because I was a gay person talking about what they perceive as just heterosexual issues or that they really are just rooted in this belief that there's no talking, there's no consent. What is this idea of consent? Like consent is assumed by her behavior. Like if she don't want it, she wouldn't be there kind of vibe. And then here we are now 20 years later and we see that culture, the thing that people said, people ain't like that. It has really taken root. So let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Let me share something with you. I'm a public service driver. Okay. And this is no surprise to me. I have always been driving people and they tell you similar stories about the jet ski operators. I don't know if they are vetted, if they vet these guys, if they investigate who these people are, or you just buy a jet ski and show up. I do not know how to put it. This what is happening is it's almost like a normal thing. But that's one issue. I want to say this to you. You're one of the hosts that I like to listen to you with the traffic. I want to tell you what I experienced last week on the Paradise Island Bridge. You know the bridge that takes you to Paradise Island? That's a one-way bridge, right?
Yeah.
Do you believe that there was a driver, as I was heading over the bridge, on the eastbound lane, last week Thursday, turned around on that bridge, bending up and made a left on East Bay Street?
You say the officer directed them?
No, I'm saying.
Oh, as if an officer.
We were traveling over the bridge. He was eastbound, right. And he turned around. I moved to figure out what this fella doing. He made a U-turn on the bridge, ran in the opposite direction. But see, he probably realized after he gone on the bridge, oh, I don't want to go on Paradise Island anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a
U-turn.
He turned.
Yeah, he made a U-turn on the bridge.
Direction and made a left. And onto East Bay Street.
Let me tell you something. I was on the Dowswell access to Bay Street. My light was green, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm entering Bay Street. A woman on Church Street had already pulled up to the red light and encroached the intersection, right? Uh-huh. I am entering Bay Street, and she decided she can turn right on red, right where my car supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then when I blew the horn, primarily to avoid an accident, secondarily to let you know you're doing foolishness, the woman turned and looked at her red light and said to me, "But I thought your light was red, miss."
Oh, okay.
Listen, my horn because you know why? The woman who was killed recently in a traffic collision had no part in the collision, you know.
That's right.
Two cars collided, and one car pushed her vehicle into a wall, and she is the only person who died in the accident. You're not supposed to bring feelings in your car. My horn have feelings, though. My horn have great feelings for me. My horn love me. And my horn is the only thing protecting me from these people who have decided they're going to do whatever they want, wherever they want. And you know what's worse, ma'am? They doing it in front of the police.
Erin, one more point, because I know you have to go on your other callers. Listen to me.
Yes, ma'am.
That airport road, we're going to have multiple deaths on that airport road. I don't know who's responsible for giving these big truck inspection, no rear light, no plate, no indication light working. The debris, you remember the police officer who lost his life about 2 years ago, rest his soul? He stopped to give a check on the driver. Mm-hmm. Someone came around and knocked him.
Mm-hmm.
The vehicles that are traveling on that airport road, they have all tires, no indicator light, right? They don't signal the debris dropping down, the sand, the P-rock. Everything is over the height of the truck.
Yeah.
Who are inspecting these vehicles? Who go down to that sand pit and that rock pit to inspect these vehicles?
They have a rule. These have a rule on the road, and it's the biggest vehicle wins. It don't matter what the situation is. I was attempting to get on the six-legged roundabout yesterday afternoon. I realized that there were a number of 18-wheelers navigating the roundabout, right? At some point, one 18-wheeler just stopped. It's likely that you know why he stopped? He stopped because JFK access to the six-legged roundabout. It's not a JFK, University Drive access to the six-legged roundabout. I think there was another 18-wheeler or large vehicle on that road. And I think this place to allow those vehicles to get onto the roundabout so his colleague, quote unquote, could get onto the roundabout. And this boy just blocked Farrington Road access.
Oh, yeah, they run the road.
To the roundabout.
The road. There's no law for them.
And I know what they're thinking. They're thinking, well, you will be dead.
I'm bigger than you.
And you'll
I'm
be dead. But I want them to know every Hannah Hasty Tyne's ancestor will haunt them, and every living descendant will haunt them. We just have no regard for other people's lives. And let me be fair. Hold on. Let me be fair. I understand why. Because we've been socialized in a way that we can have no regard for our own lives. And that's what plantation living is like. Ma'am, I want to thank you so much because I encourage drivers to speak up. So we can understand that the good drivers are not going to let the bad drivers destroy it for everyone.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No, man. Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Absolutely. Before I move to the next story and some text, Mr. Newry, that's why I highlighted that story in the Guardian video Facebook page, social media platform, highlighting the father and son duo. The father operates a jet ski business. Mm-hmm. It appears that the son may or may not be actively involved in that business, right? I use that story as an example to show that that situation, as cute as it may seem and as heartwarming as it may seem, is a clear indicator of crisis in the jet ski industry. I wasn't even aware of the jet ski rape story that unfolded days after.
But not all jet skis are bad.
That's the point we're making.
I recently went to Goodman's Bay. They have hired private security to police them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very impressed with that. It's well organized.
Who hired private security?
I assume the jet ski.
Because Goodman's Bay is a public. Okay, so you're saying the jet ski association.
They hired their own security. They have their word security on it.
So they could determine who's a part of the association and who.
Impressive. And perhaps that's what they need to do.
Because here's the thing. That father-son duo, that father may be an excellent, you know. Mm-hmm. He may be polite, professional. He may have an excellent standard of conduct. No complaints, not even a question of whether this boy is being inappropriate with his customers, but that his son is involved in any way. And what it appeared, what the audience was left to infer is that this little boy could be a part of your business. That shows that the industry itself is not sufficiently regulated. Because all that boy needed was a little bit of oversight to say, King, I know you may have primary custody of your child, but this is jeopardizing your ability to operate this business. Producer, it's a new caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Madam Green. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
And good morning, C.A. Newey.
Hi.
It's education. Education, education, education.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? When it comes to anything interacting with tourists, you need to go through some education training to let you know how they go, because tourists will come, they get loose, they catch a smoke or they catch a drink, and then they get loose. You know, they don't play like us.
Yeah, they hit a bump in the road.
Exactly. And then when you wake up with them and they realize that stuff that they're off and they had, you in trouble. So what they need to do is educate those jet ski operators and anybody who comes in contact with tourists.
Mm-hmm.
They need to educate them now. Aaron Green,
mm-hmm.
I don't know when people can get it. Roundabouts do not work.
I don't care
how you try to fix that.
Roundabouts work, but it cannot work with these people. It can't work with the people whose rule is, I was
Green,
there first. What you could do?
I don't care how you say. Roundabouts do not work. That is the reason why they took them out in the great United States and put four-way intersections there. They do not work.
These,
because you always
stop.
Have someone trying to cut from the inner lane to the outer lane, or the outer lane to the inner lane. All that foolishness can always happen on a roundabout.
I hear you. We got to have this debate on another day, because I want to have the debate.
I really want to have it.
Plus, you're going to call
ma'am.
Back in the next couple of days and give us some other information, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, good stuff.
Okay.
Thank you very much. It is a worthy discussion. I'm not trying to knock it off the table. It's a worthy discussion. Okay, so I have this headline here. Mitchell says he has no knowledge why huge abroad. Hear that? I think yesterday it was reported that roughly over 2,700 Bahamian nationals globally are registered as refugees or asylum seekers. Mitchell says he has no knowledge why Bahamians sought refuge abroad. I have an answer for that, and the answer is in Latin. Responsum est in question. That's my bad Latin. I didn't go to St. Anne's. They taught Latin at St. Anne's.
It sounds very Spanishish.
Can you read that?
I didn't take up Latin.
You didn't take up Latin in school? You go to SAC? They do Latin at SAC. They did Latin at SAC, man. Anyway, that means the answer...
as in questionnaire.
That means the answer is in the question.
Okay.
Mitchell says he has no knowledge why Bahamians sought refuge abroad. The answer is right there in the statement. That's why, because you all continue to insist that you don't know why the people leave it.
But why
you're
the
minister. Hold on, you're the minister of foreign affairs for 745 years.
Move to why you didn't.
Methusalem appointed this by the minister of foreign affairs.
Yeah, but why are they leaving? Why Bahamians leaving?
Because they're frustrated.
No, this asylum workers, not migrants.
Why are they leaving?
All asylum seekers are migrants. Not all migrants are asylum seekers.
Yeah, but we're talking about asylum seekers. That's what we're trying to say. Why are they leaving? That's what he asked.
Okay, I can tell you. I'm gonna take a stab at it.
Yeah, please.
I can take a stab at why they're leaving. Here's another headline. Man to pay $5,000 to niece for indecent assault. A 44-year-old man indecently assaulted his niece was on Wednesday ordered to pay her $5,000 in compensation to avoid spending 8 months in prison.
You need to go to jail.
DM caressed his...
What do you mean caresses?
Hold on, what do you mean DM? DM caressed his 17-year-old niece's sister while giving her driving lessons on April 6th. So an older family member operating in the capacity as a teacher, because he's teaching her how to drive.
Mm-hmm. Touchy niece.
And kiss her. He pleaded guilty to the charge of indecent assault at his arraignment before Assistant Chief Magistrate Carolyn Voight Evans. DM returns to court today to pay the compensation to his victim. He will also be placed on probation for a year. If he's convicted of any offense while on probation, he will have to pay a $5,000 fine. If the fine isn't paid, he will serve a default sentence of 8 months in prison.
Okay.
All right. I think Unidance is in the question. Here's another answer to your question, like why are people leaving?
Oh, you start answering?
That's one of the answers right there.
But I have no reason to leave, man.
That ain't no reason to leave.
No.
Okay, because here's what the problem is.
Go ahead.
Any offense that has a fine attached to it is just a signal that you just be rich enough to enjoy this behavior.
No. I understand why they put the fine.
No. Any fine, any offense with a fine as its penalty is a clear indication that this is an offense that the rich can enjoy as a recreation. Yeah. That's why the people them leaving. The next answer to your question... System disturbance at BPL plant leaves thousands without power. That's on page A3 of today's Guardian. You notice on page 1 of today's, the front page of today's Guardian, government signs energy deals. Do you know when that system disturbance happened? Day before yesterday? That's when it happened. We only hearing about it today. They didn't tell us about it yesterday. But on the front page, the government signs energy deals.
Yeah.
That's another reason why the people leave.
No, man, not for those.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to a break. When we come back from the break, I have lots more answers for Mr. Newry's question. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thinking of the good times and the pain.
Linda's carrying a new line of tile. The Sky Series of Porcelain. Comes in 4 colors, tones, shades. There's Sky Noir, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Green. Sky Gris, as you'd imagine, gives you a smoky kind of feel. It's not heavy and depressing, but gives the area a chill feeling. The Sky Series comes in 2 formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, 24 at 525 a square foot. I really like this series for big spaces, and being porcelain, they can take a lot of traffic. The Sky Series at Pinder Tile.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life that's second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
It's anniversary time, gonna blow your mind.
All right, welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We're on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Don't touch the dial. Don't touch the dial. We got lots more to talk about. In fact, I'm going to get back to my response to Mr. Newry's question, like why do people leave? Let me give you a real story of why people leave. I saw a video. I think most of us have seen the video online a content creator was doing like an angel experiment, right? This white guy went up to this house. He knocked on the door. I think a child and a woman opened the door. A woman opened the door, a child behind her, and the gentleman asked if she could spare him a pair of shoes. He was barefoot. I mean, Canada, it's cold. That woman opened her mouth, and as she opened her mouth, she opened her heart. And she's like, she said, yes, baby, you need a pair of shoes? You out here in all this cold and you ain't got no shoes? Then she asked him, you need a pair of socks to go with that? Then she asked him if you need a care package, because I could put it together. That's Bahamian. You want to know Bahamian culture? That's Bahamian culture, right? The little girl starts talking. The little girl is a little girl, the cutest little thing ever. She revealed some information maybe that the mother would not have revealed. But the little girl basically said, me and my mummy are in Canada because my daddy stabbed my mummy. Right? That's one answer. Here's another answer. At the event Sovereign last night, the exhibition and talk highlighting all of the things that took place this month, one of the attendees of the event said that after her picture was shared in the media, like pictures of the event, and then shared on social media, right, on a particular platform, there's one platform in particular, she was then inundated with unsolicited penis pics. A very young Bahamian who decided to take part in an International Women's Day march, whose image was captured by the media and then shared on social media, said that she was subsequently inundated with genital pics from men, unsolicited. And one person, when she was attempting to exercise at a gym, that an individual there pressed upon her as if he had an obligation from God, why is it that you were partaking in these activities? That's why people leave in. But I have more answers, just in case those answers are insufficient. Here's another answer to the question. Headline, or at least in today's Tribune, government knocked down my home by mistake. Another headline, my daughter deserves an education. From public schools to private institutions, grant programs to special education centers, every path to the classroom has been blocked for an Abaco mother trying to secure an education for her 7-year-old daughter with cerebral palsy. I think I got another headline for you, Mr. Newry. Here it is. Here it is. This may be one of the reasons why Bahamians are leaving. Of course, we have the gay people who you can't be visible. You could be gay, but you can't be visible because you can't make people uncomfortable about themselves. It's a big one. Here's a headline. Constituents may not want Miller, but Mitchell says no one else running. Despite discontent among Golden Isles over their MP Vaughan Miller, Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell said no one else has shown interest in the seat, likely paving the way for Mr. Miller to be renominated. That right there is the only answer that I need. You don't have, didn't you? In fact, I got the article here from yesterday. Didn't you all say that you all were beginning your candidacy training? Here we go. Mitchell says two sitting PLP MPs indicated they won't run again. And you ain't had no problem right with that because it seemed like you all have people to replace them. Constituents may not want somebody, but that's too bad. Don't the constituents decide? Despite discontent, asked if he was confident in Mr. Miller's leadership, Mr. Mitchell did not offer a ringing endorsement. Quote, he is the sitting member of parliament for the Progressive Liberal Party, and there's no one else that I know of that's vying for the seat. And that's where we are. I know somebody who's looking for a seat.
Who's looking for a seat?
Irem Lewis.
Yes, that's true.
You looking for a seat?
But he didn't want to be PLP.
Why? Who tell you that?
That's true. But he won't be in Grand Bahama.
See, because if a PLP told you that, then I'd say, I don't know if that. Quote, he continues to work in the constituency unless the party decides otherwise, and I won't speculate one way or the next. He's a sitting member of parliament and continues to do his work. What work? What work has he been doing?
I'm more concerned about take it or lump it. You don't like him, but that's our candidate. Take it or lump it.
Yeah.
And then it tells a tale about the constituency leaders, that they have no choice, that one would assume that they're interactive with the organization and say, well, we don't like this candidate, can you someone else? And their opinions no longer matters. It's the same debate they're having regarding
Hubert Minnis about their constituency association.
Mm-hmm.
Two constituency associations, and people need to juxtapose this and do an analysis on it. Mm-hmm. Two constituency associations are saying that, one, they love their candidate, two, they don't like their candidate, and the leadership of both political parties saying, I don't care what y'all say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your constituency association saying, right? Because our opinion
is what
everything.
Matters. Yes. Yeah. Let's go back to that article. Mitchell says he has no knowledge why Bahamians sought refuge abroad. Just checking the time. Mr. Newry, what time you have there?
52.
All right. Minister of Foreign Affairs Fred Mitchell said he did not know why some Bahamians are seeking asylum abroad, responding to a recent report from the International Organization for Migration, documenting over 2,700 Bahamian nationals globally as refugees or asylum seekers. Quote, in my experience as a minister, I remembered some people use domestic violence or sexual orientation as a reason. End quote. He said, okay, what do you mean they used it as a reason? Why would you say that? Why wouldn't you say that that is the reason that they gave? Anyway, he goes on to say, quote, I have no knowledge of why anyone sought refuge abroad, close quotes. But isn't the Ministry of Foreign Affairs involved in the asylum-seeking process? Like, don't the people from where they go to seek asylum communicate with the asylum from?
And this is one reason why, actually, to explain why people go in abroad. And I assume that you have to make an application before you land in people's country to seek asylum.
To follow the if you follow the process properly and you apply from the place that you are in.
And I know in Canada, sometimes they allow you to present a case, even that you came into the country. Once you didn't come into the country legally, mm-hmm. They allow you to present a case. And usually it's either crime or fear of crime against you, your person,
mm-hmm.
or you're being persecuted in your home. Mm-hmm. You see, we have a number of homosexuals running, seeking asylum in Canada, mm-hmm. citing that their quality of life has been diminished living in the Bahamas. I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
But this number is like 2,000.
2,700.
2,000 people either saying they're terrified of being in the Bahamas or their quality of life is being diminished. And our Minister of Foreign Affairs is saying that he has no clue why so many people. Because one, the persons who and those who seeking refuge because of quality of life and saying being diminished, those who are homosexual or transgendered, he's saying that they can live here in the Bahamas without no fear. That's the position. I'm not saying
who
that's
said her, that.
I'm not saying that's just
no. I just say who
no,
said
no,
that.
No, one is officially saying, but that's the position. You can seek justice. There's no discrimination against homosexual in the Bahamas. And two,
really, that somebody said that?
Yeah, man, I'm sure that's it.
Okay.
And two, mm-hmm. those who are fair of their lives can find retribution in the court.
Recourse.
Great, thanks. In the court.
Okay.
In court.
Okay. Okay. No? No, I mean, my personal experience.
Yeah, we know you through the telephone and thing, man. We ain't talking about you.
Oh, no, I wasn't even talking about that case, but that's okay. See, that's what I said. Yeah. I wasn't even talking
we
about
ain't talking
that
about
one.
That. We ain't talking about that.
Because I don't count, right? See,
no, you do count. I just said, we ain't talking about that.
How I come into this scenario, right? Because it's very likely that a person would say, well, Erin Green been gay and out for decades.
Decades now.
And she ain't filed for asylum yet. First of all, y'all don't know how I going about my asylum claim. I may just be using OBA in the bush. Second of all, obviously, I've been far too polite in my public engagement that y'all are unable to register the levels of stress that I'm constantly under due to the constant meeting of discrimination and prejudice and a willful commitment to disregarding the rule of law because I don't have to because God don't like gay people. I just gonna be ruder now so y'all could get a sense of what it's like living in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas as a gay person. Here we go. The 2024 IOM report published this week placed the Bahamas second only to Jamaica among English and Dutch-speaking Caribbean countries with the highest number of citizens, producer Les Prep de Call, seeking international protection. While the report did not analyze individual cases, it identified broader migration drivers in the region, such as political instability, economic hardship, and discrimination, especially against vulnerable groups like women and LGBTQIA+ individuals. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning, morning.
Yeah, Mr. Nuri, I'm terrified of living in the Bahamas. Like anybody else, you know, we know what victimization looks like and the ostracization of the public, the unfreedom of the press, the airwaves, etc. But I noticed that they're appeared to be an advanced, what they call it, health clinic, just on the northern side of National Insurance, right there in Green. There wasn't any consultation with the sheep in the grove, right? And it just appeared. And so the word advanced, want us to make it look like we stand a chance. But firstly, I'm very disappointed in the fact of this BS of the climate change narrative. When they cut down some of those trees that are older than me, right? I went to Mabel Walker. I'm not a talker, right? And just as those trees were very old. And so if you really understand the carbon science, I'm looking at the counterintuitive and the counteractions to this climate change. They cut down all of the trees. You tell me they couldn't save one of them. The trees don't have the right to exist, like the rivers and stuff that you talk about. That we know that rivers and certain natural features are being given rights, Aaron.
I'm looking at it.
It's going to offset this carbon monoxide and dioxide coming out of these jitneys if they're going to give me a concrete jungle, right? And all can never be well living in a concrete hell. When is the government, when are any environmentalists going to stand up and leave a certain amount of greenery in the area? Now, they may put trees there, but, I mean, come on, man. Jesus Christ, man. You say you believe in climate change. And, Aaron, why hasn't anybody answered my question as relate to anthropogenic carbon and its isotopes and how would they differentiate when they're taxing us? Because you and I breed on carbon dioxide, also plants in the night.
I can
so
tell
what's
you
going
what.
On? Listen, this is all a financial concept. And, you
okay,
know,
I got you, 52. Okay, let me answer your questions. Nobody's going to answer the question unless they force to. You figure out where we live in? Nobody can do anything unless they're absolutely forced to. And in some instances, certain death doesn't stop a car from doing foolishness. That's the answer. The second thing, understand that the people in the climate change unit, they don't even have authority and power. You know, I tell you all, when you look at the public commission and you realize that there's a commissioner and then the prime minister and the leader of the opposition also sit on the commission, then you realize the commissioner may have authority, but he has no power. Climate change unit has no authority, nor does it have power. Not just that, it's obvious that the public service is completely and totally disjointed and dysfunctional. Right? The people who are trying to protect the trees are not in control of the decisions, right? To grant permission to cut trees, to enforce the rules around trees. It's a devastation. I hope you all notice how dusty it is. It's dusty everywhere. It's dusty everywhere. And that's because we're just cutting down trees indiscriminately. I can end the show how I started it. First of all, we're going to do some trivia, I think, in Guardian Radio AM's hour. But also, a D average is not satisfactory. And I hope we see that the state of dysfunction and the inability to navigate the world around them, let alone just the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Anyway, you've been on the clock with Aaron Green. Mitchell says he has no knowledge why Bahamians sought refuge abroad. Maybe we need to tell him. Anyway, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. May you love each other and live happily. Stay clear of that which causes stress. For life, you know, could be complex. Relax, be happy, whatever you do. And may old man time this is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.